a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Understand that this year there's one overriding concern, and that's the budget. So I'm guessing bills that traditionally would have come in asking for money, they just knew that it was probably a waste of time this year, so they didn't bring them. Also, maybe legislators feel that we need to focus more on the bigger task at hand, and that is balancing our budget, so they may have not brought some bills that would have distracted us from our main purpose in being here this year and decided to wait a year or two. Who knows, but nonetheless, we're off to a rather slow start as far as bill load goes. As we've told you before, we're striving to balance the budget this year without using reserve funds, and that process is ongoing. The Appropriations Committee is working many, many hours during this time of the session, as is typical. They're meeting individually with each of the departments and listening to their budget request for fiscal year 11. They are attempting to identify areas where we can make some cuts that will be the most prudent and rational cuts that we can find in the state budget. It is our intention to find more cuts in the budget, but it's also our intention to do that with having the least negative impact on people. We're not trying to eliminate jobs. I would imagine that very likely could happen if some of the cuts come true, but that's not our priority. We're looking to harm cause stress on the fewest amount of people. However, the appropriations process takes time, and we're in the midst of that time now. It is a process. It's a very long, tedious, painful process in appropriations, and they are, I would guess, half to two-thirds of the way through their hearings, and then some of the real hard work begins. So with those things in mind, the light bill load and the appropriations process still chugging through, we don't have a lot of headlines to to give you for this week. So I will leave it at that before I say everything that Senator Knutson wanted to, and let him give you his thoughts on our third week in Pierre.
I knew I shouldn't have given Bob my notes. No, what he said is definitely true in terms of the bill flow in the legislature is clearly down. I think probably even more so in the Senate than in the House. Although we had quite a number of bills introduced yesterday, I think we will have quite a number introduced today as well, as this is the last day for unlimited bill filing. After today, each legislator is limited to three additional bills that they can serve as the prime sponsor. So I think the bulk of our bills will probably be in by today and a few more coming in next week. On the budget side, again, I think that's been the focus of the work for the last 2 weeks. Again, as Bob indicated, the Appropriations Committee is meeting on a daily basis. We and the leadership team are keeping very close contact with our appropriations chairs and co-chairs to continue to look for opportunities for reducing the size of state government in order to achieve our goal of having zero deficit spending. That is a goal, incidentally, that became just a little bit steeper this week as the Department of Education indicated that they had found, when they received the final numbers on fall enrollment, it was several hundred more than they had anticipated. And so I believe the size of the projected deficit under the governor's budget would have gone up another $3.1 or $3.7 million. So, again, the hill got a little steeper this last week, but that did not change our commitment to get to a zero deficit. It just made the hill a little tougher. I think on the other front we talked about specifically in our Republican legislative platform was not making the shift of a portion of K-12 funding from the state to the local property taxpayer. The governor had proposed a roughly $4 million shift from the state to the local property taxpayer. The bill, which would not follow the governor's recommendation, is Senate Bill 67. That came out of the Senate Taxation Committee today, or it came out yesterday. It's on the Senate floor today. And so the process is, we're starting the process of making what we in the legislature refer to as the annual Cutler-Gabriel adjustment. This is a lowering of the property tax mill levies for school general fund education that is called for in order to keep the state's share of K-12 funding at a steady percentage. The it's kind of remarkable, over 15 years of making small steps each year through the Cutler-Gabriel adjustment, we have been able to bring down the mill rates for school general fund taxes for agricultural property and owner-occupied property by 60%, and for commercial property by 50% over 15 years, again, just by slow, steady, small steps. But looking back over that time frame, they have been, they've accumulated to quite a substantial reduction in those mill rates. In terms of other bills of interest in the Senate Education Committee today, we just passed out of committee in an amended form Senate Bill 63, which relates to charter schools. Originally, that included both a pilot charter school that would be overseen by the Department of Education, focused on Native American education, trying to expand the successes of the Gear Up program, and then also provided a framework for establishment of charter schools across South Dakota with as those were approved by local school districts. In the discussions with all the parties, it became apparent that the second half of that bill was a little premature, and so we, in the Senate Ed today, reduced it to the Race to the Top Native American pilot school, and Secretary of Education Oster indicated that he was creating a work group to work with all interested parties on a broader charter school framework for possible introduction in 2011. And I think everybody felt good both about the focus on the Native American charter school and pilot charter school, and then the working group for a future framework on broader charter schools. Again, you're going to see a lot of activity next week. I think committees will start taking up pretty substantial bills. Again, there's just a number of topics that we've seen bills introduced on, and you know, I guess the other area I would just talk about for a second is, you know, in terms of economic development and South Dakota's business climate, in many ways it's very similar to what we are doing with the Cutler-Gabriel adjustment. It's a series of very small steps, modernizing this part of our statutes, modernizing the governing law for these types of transactions. And so I think you're going to see a lot of bills that aren't headline grabbers, but do move the ball forward in South Dakota, keep our business climate at number one in the nation by almost every survey that you see. South Dakota ranks very high and, generally speaking, number one in terms of business climate. So I think there's going to be, as always, a lot of hard work done on non-headline grabbing bills, but all designed to improve and better South Dakota. And with that, I think we'd probably be open for any questions that anybody might have.
The Bureau of Finance and Management has a bill in the House to freeze the mill levy, basically, right? And that would be in opposition to Senate Bill 67.
That is the, yes, that is part of what the governor's budget address requested. That they freeze the mill levy. Of course, that's one of the things that we've announced in our platform that we'd prefer not to do. So, yeah, that would be the bill that the governor has introduced. We haven't acted on it yet because obviously we're trying to, if find an alternative to that.
Yeah. And do you see that even passing through the House and coming to the Senate, or?
Well, it depends. It's one of those things that's possible, because until we achieve our goal, we need to keep the bill alive, I would imagine. So if it moves across, it wouldn't be telling, because we have a day in February when anything that says House bill in front of it has to be acted on. So it's possible we'll keep it alive. We frankly haven't discussed it yet, but I would say at this point, if it moves out of the House, it's only under the terms of keeping it alive for the time being.
In the absence of anything else, a couple of bills that Representative Fain and I are serving as co-sponsors on that might be of some interest. One would be making some limited adjustments to the open records bill, which we passed last year. Representative Fain and I served as the prime sponsors on that bill, which established a presumption of openness and was really a landmark bill in terms of opening up government to South Dakota citizens and improving the transparency and access to information of our citizens. Bob and I have worked with the South Dakota Newspaper Association in particular over the last year, and they have proposed some, I think, relatively minor adjustments to the bill, which, amongst other things, sort of gave me confidence that what we had put in place last year was pretty good. But probably the most significant piece of the proposal in Senate Bill 104 is to require the posting of informational packets or board informational packets by state and local governmental bodies. At the same time, those are sent out to the members, as long as you post them on the internet. If you send them out electronically, you make them available in hard copy, if in fact you use hard copy for those. To the extent information contained in a board packet is otherwise confidential due to the nature of, certain employee related practices and those sorts of things are confidential under the bill passed last year. Anything in a board packet that would be confidential can still remain that way. But I think this is, again, having immediate access to the board packets is a practice that many units of the local government, and I suspect divisions of state government, probably already do, but I think it's an important step forward on that front. The other piece of legislation that comes to my mind is something that Representative Fain and I have introduced and has broad support in our caucuses, is a joint resolution to put on the ballot a constitutional amendment that would guarantee the right of our citizens to a secret ballot election, both in political and labor elections. There is a proposal, historically, under the federal Labor Relations Act, union representation elections have been by secret ballot. There's a proposal in Congress that would take away that secret ballot election, and this constitutional amendment would be designed to ensure that South Dakotans would continue to have that right of a secret ballot in both political and labor union elections. It's kind of a curiosity that nowhere in our existing Constitution is there a specific guarantee of a secret ballot in political elections. So that joint resolution, I believe, was introduced yesterday and is Senate Joint Resolution 3.
Would that make it on the ballot this fall election, or would it be another cycle?
Would be in the November of 2010 election cycle. Anything else question-wise? If not, as Garrison Keeler would say, it was a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, and so I don't know that we have anything else.